Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last. When it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji water. There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the Clawfist. And then there are the small moments, the slow morning spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year. And in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AndySgirls through December 31. I'm a hole-in-one, even though... I have a couple. It's so bad. It's so dirty.
Okay. Oh, you go. You're never unemployed when your full-time job is watching Bravo.
I love that, you guys. I felt like really kind of dirty when I said my, but I was like being crazy. That's me being crazy. That's my version of being like sexy.
It was pretty crazy.
Thank you. It was really crazy. But you know what's going to be a hole-in-one this episode? So welcome back, Housewives writer and culture commentator, Lewis Team Bethany Peitzman. Lewis, wow. How are we?
That is such a cruel thing to lob at me after all these years.
So I was thinking about this yesterday. Because I remember you and I made history for Andy's Girls when we recorded our epic Team Carol v. Team Bethany episode 5-ish years ago, 6 years. I don't know. Don't make me math. Like,
yeah.
Whatever period of time. Because I think it was around 2 hours, which at that point, episodes were... I think, I don't even remember, but probably like 70-ish minutes.
And
that
now
was
that's like a short episode for you.
Now that's the precursor. Now that's the little in the beginning, Brayshit. And there's just that little moment. So listen, you just told me the weather. I have not seen the weather for days. It's super gross in New York today.
It feels like an oven outside. And I know that people say that a lot, wonderful. But I actually mean like the humidity and the heaviness of the air and the heat. It really feels like you're being cooked slowly when you stand outside. So I'm really glad that we got some iced coffee before.
Thank God that you picked it up, because I have not stepped outside in literal days.
Thank you for that. You bought it, so thank you for that.
I always do, because you know what? Guests schlep here to the Clawfest, and it is my privilege to caffeinate us, even though mine is decaf. And also, you know, baby girl's in a robe. So, like, don't make me change to go outside.
Well, here's the problem for me is that, like, I recently entered a sweet treat era where I need to go to Starbucks every day to get my little sweet treat. And I'm also newly in my unemployment era, and that's not a good Venn diagram to be in.
Like, what's the Venn diagram? I know what it is. You guys, it's the circles, and then there's Venn diagram.
These but eras what's have the coincided.
Sweet treat era, and then what was the other
unemployment
one?
Unemployment era.
Unemployment, and then they're meeting, so you're in your
unemployment
sweet treat. Unfortunately,
I'm in the middle where I should not be spending extra money.
Okay, got it.
And I am spending extra money, because I have cold brew at home, and I have oat milk at home. And yet, I need to go to Starbucks to get...
Well, you know, there is something about, so I drink essentially exclusively decaf, and there's just something about, I get a triple decaf iced espresso in a grande cup with extra ice. And I'm going to tell you what, even though I do have my decaf cold brew in the fridge and I love it, shout out Grady's cold brew beanbags, not an ad, I'm obsessed with them. And they do have like caffeinated, but I love their decaf. Even though I have that in the fridge, and I love it. There's just something about a sort of terribly made espresso on they're just the Starbucks taste is so specific I yearn for it.
It's something that you've had for your whole life or close to your whole life at this point. There's a nostalgia to Starbucks.
Starbucks raised me.
I keep trying to not do it, and then like they know when I want it, and they send me like a notification being like, hey, do you want your Starbucks today? And then I'm like, no. And then 20 minutes later, I'm placing an order. It's sick.
The one thing that is literally nuts is how much everyone charges for an iced latte. Because I remember a universe in the 1960s where a Starbucks iced latte was like four. I remember it was like $4 or $5. And now it's $37 for a tall iced latte.
Yeah. No, it's very expensive. I don't drink alcohol. Like, I don't
drink.
For me, I'm like, okay, I save a lot of money on that. So this is like a justification that it's like, this is the cost of like half a glass of wine, but I still should not be. Whatever. For right now, it's fine. But as we go deeper into the unemployment era, maybe I want to like cut back on these extraneous purchases.
But you know what? I feel like there's so much going on in the world that we need to all be in our sweet treat era. So maybe that is a Starbucks. You are in the right space, a safe space. If you ever say, I spent a little on this, I spent a little on that, I say, welcome home. This is where you should be. We see each other. You will never have a conversation with me that ends with like, was that a good financial decision? And I love those people. But I also think things are so hard that like, if an iced latte is going to make you feel better, go for things that will make you feel good.
No, I hear that, and I spend accordingly. So like, whatever reservations I might have about the big picture, I'm still getting my sweet treats.
100%. And you can be financially responsible. Absolutely. We do these things in life. But also, you know, find the ways to treat yourself. And it doesn't need to cost money. For example, you know what has changed my life, lifted me out of a depressive episode, geared me toward a potentially fine fall? Watching these goddamn Olympics. I was in the fetal position this morning in bed, watching just various reels of Snoop Dogg, just like gallivanting around Paris, cheering on people, talking about horses and dressage, like, and then watching the women's all around final yesterday, losing my fucking mind. And, you know, Team USA, but also all of the athletes are so incredible that I'm genuinely cheering for all of them. But I want this for Simone. Mm-hmm. So like going through and crying like multiple times. I mean, it's who knew that the Olympics are joyful and inspiring?
Well, I love the Olympics. I have not been watching as much this year.
I think this is the best Olympics of recent memory because it's the only one I've seen of recent
memory.
But
I'm not a summer Olympics person because I really like, if I'm going to watch something for hours, I want it to be ice skating. Mm. I like watching like the ski jumps and all that stuff, the luge, all of that stuff I love watching. And so like summer's always a little bit, I don't know. I mean, I love gymnastics, but otherwise I'm just, it doesn't really do it for me. But usually I watch anyway. I just like, it keeps being ill-timed. Like every time I want to put it on, it's like only tennis and I'm not a tennis person. Or I did watch a little bit of some equestrian stuff today because I do love horses. But yeah, it's Summer Olympics maybe is not for me, but I do love the Olympics and I don't watch sports. So, which has been hard because Real Housewives of Orange County is apparently a sports show now.
Yes.
2 weeks in a row. But I do like I've always enjoyed the Olympics because it's like there's something about what's the word I'm looking for? Like
excellence?
Yes, but also it's just like it's a lot of drama. It's like reality TV sports. Mm. There's storylines. There's a little bit more going on than just like watching sports.
But it is also fun because then the commentators or news outlets or whomever are trying to dream up possible tension between competitors that either doesn't exist or is, I'm going to use this word incorrectly, superficial in the sense that like, sure, are you technically competing against this person? Yes. But do you hate each other? Absolutely not. Yeah. So that's fun because they're trying to push, especially in like the women-led sports, they're trying to push these competitors against each other. And then it's like, no, you can see Simone and Rebecca cheering each other on the entire fucking time because both of these women are queens.
Yeah.
Really can. And also NBC does like a nightly thing where they kind of put everything together, shellac it together. So you don't really even have to worry about watching stuff live because it goes very, very smoothly from like swimming to gymnastics to back to swimming. They do really do a great job.
I will say that I've said this before, but like for all my complaints about Peacock, which is like a nightmare app, despite the fact that it's where I watch all Bravo shows, they do the Olympics really well because you can see everything happening live, like every different feed, everything that's going to be happening live that day. And you can also go by sport and be like, click on a sport, see when it's highlight reels and what's playing next and all of that. So like, I do appreciate how Peacock, I do think like that was a real Olympics in the streaming era is a lot easier. And I think Peacock does a good job with the Olympics.
So speaking of Peacock, I talked about this on a Patreon episode that's up now, but they announced this past week that Love Hotel is the new show coming to Peacock, since I assume we are skipping over Girls Trip for the next little while. So it's going to be Shan, obviously, Giselle, Ashley Darby, and Luann going to, I think, Cabo, somewhere fabulous, and looking for some fellas. Like, it's going to be a little bit of a dating show moment that will air at some point next year. What are your thoughts on the show concept and also the cast?
Love the cast. I love the cast, but also I'm like frustrated by Giselle being there because I think that, I mean, it makes total sense for her and I think she would be great on that show, but also like do not like how much she's been rewarded since last season. The fact that like she got what she wanted last season, basically, and then after a terrible Potomac season, and then now gets another show, I'm a little bit annoyed about it.
You know what? They are giving her a sweet treat. But did she deserve her sweet treat?
She did not deserve it. I guess I don't entirely understand the concept. Like, are we doing, is it like a real dating show where it's like we see the men too and there are like, I don't know, I don't watch Love Island, so I don't entirely know how that works.
You're missing out.
I know that. I know for sure. But I've watched other dating shows. Mm-hmm. Like, does it have that structure or is it more of a loose, like, we're putting you somewhere where there are men and we'll see what happens?
I think it's going to be relatively fluid and I think it's going to be a combination of the two. I don't think it's going to be as structured as Love Island because, you know, these people like a little bit of chaos, but it's going to have some element of organization, definitely.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, that would be good for me. I mean, I would like, I want to see a little bit of structure there, but I think that it's interesting because like all of these, basically like every Housewives show and Housewives adjacent show has become about how horny the women are. And I think that we might as well lean into that with a show that matches them up with someone.
Yeah. And I also think when it comes to Giselle specifically, I don't know what this says about her future on the franchise, but I think she's a better housewife on shows that aren't her main one. Like, I think she's I think she could be a better housewife on Love Island than she has been on Potomac, because I don't think she has that kind of, speaking of competition, this like strange sort of competition, but feeling that she's above people that she has to film with. So you put some of those folks on, just like Ultimate Girls Trip season one. Some of these people were at the end of the rope a little bit with some people that they're casting with, or feeling like you're above stuff. But if you're in an all-star cast and you feel like you're equal with these people and you don't have to vie for attention in that way or prove your worth or seek to devalue someone else's, that's a good spot to film in.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100% on that. I think my hesitation there is that Thailand was terrible and Giselle was awful in that season.
That's a good point.
So I agree with you in theory, but I'm worried that in reality, we've seen Giselle fall into like the same bad habits and other bad habits that we hadn't seen in doing these kinds of girls trip-esque shows. But I don't know. I mean, like, it seems like given the concept and who they're casting, they're not really looking for conflict between the women.
Can I ask you a question? I was, as with most things on the pod, absolutely not planning on discussing this, but I actually would love to get your thoughts because I've been thinking about this for a minute. Are you watching Dubai?
Yes.
Do you like it?
No.
Fuck. You don't? That wasn't the answer I was hoping you were going to give me.
No.
Fuck.
The last couple episodes have been pretty good, but I'm not seeing what the other people are seeing in it.
Okay.
Sorry to let you down.
No, that's okay. It's because I've heard from people who are like, it's really fun. And I initially, which I've talked about a little on the podcast and honest to be more honest, more on social, is my disinterest at that point in recapping it, because I did not want to amplify a show whose cast included people, two in particular, Caroline Brooks and quote unquote Dr. Sarah, who had said some vile things on social media from like October 8th forward that made me viscerally uncomfortable as one of very few Jewish content creators and podcasters in the Bravo space, which is not a question of politics or anything else, but like just really as a Jewish person made me very upset. And then they just went ahead and blocked the five of us Jewish content creators that there are in their universe. So I was like, I'm not really into this. And then the season started and I heard that they were both having a terrible season and my little ears perked up. And I was like, wait a second, am I missing the opportunity to like drag them? And also there are people who are having a good season, like allegedly from what I've heard, Caroline Stanberry, which I was surprised by because I thought last season was not great for her. Yeah. So it sounds like she's kind of in a zero fucks era, which I would love. And I don't in any way participate in boycotts because I think if you are finding a sweet treat era, if you are finding a sweet treat and watching any show, you should do it. And now I'm thinking to myself, I actually think I'm going to recap it. And that your opinion that the show isn't necessarily as fabulous as what this season, as I've heard, makes me almost more curious to watch it. Cause I just thought I was going to watch it and like, you know, some zesty things are happening and Caroline Brooks is flopping and I'm extremely into Caroline Brooks losing and being a mess, like truly music to my ears. But also, if you're not like vibing with it, that to me is super interesting because then I'm like, oh, maybe I'll have more of a nuanced take. Well, I mean, I'm sure I will, but like maybe it won't be immediately, I love this, which is intriguing to me.
Yeah, it's definitely like it's picked up. The last couple episodes were pretty good. I think that it was hard to get into it because of the 2-year gap.
Has it been 2 years?
It was 2 years between seasons.
Holy shit.
And like, I'm confused about when they film because they keep saying 2022, I want to say, when they're like talking about what's going on the show when they were filming.
That was when this is so terrible that I know it. It premiered in late May or early June of 2022 because it was right after my ICU incident.
But I think that I'm saying that I think they were filming season two.
In 2022?
They're talking, I don't know, it seems like it's a long time ago.
That's nuts.
And Yes, that was they definitely filmed it a long time ago. Yeah, it's gotten a little bit better, although like I just feel like the sort of like really effusive praise of the show mm-hmm. to me feels more like it's almost like people are rejecting Jersey, and so they're mm-hmm. kind of trying to like latch onto something else, and I wish it were Orange County. And for a lot of people it is, but I think it was like Dubai was airing earlier and expectations were low, but for me, it doesn't do much for me. I don't like the vibe of it. I don't like mm-hmm. Dubai as a location for a variety of reasons. I think that the parts of it that are interesting to me is like, I actually am interested in the culture of Dubai and the culture that was there and then the culture that was built more recently, but that is trying to replicate kind of like a rich, like there's elements when I'm watching Dubai where I'm like, it looks like Orange County. Like that looks mm-hmm. like the aesthetics of it like look like Orange County to me. And I'm interested in that and how that meshes with the culture of Dubai that was there before. Mm-hmm. But we don't really get that. We kind of just get them all. Dubai is sort of performing Housewife City and the Housewives are performing Housewives. And it's not as interesting to me. I don't really find a lot of the conflicts to be organic. I don't. Mm-hmm. find a lot of their behaviors to be organic, which I know sounds weird because that's obviously true of many housewife cities, but I think like the benefit of most housewives is that like we got to know them when they were a little bit more grounded, a little bit less aware of the cameras. And a problem with lots of more recent housewives is that they're and new housewives who join, or in the case of Dubai, like a bunch of new housewives minus Caroline because asterisk, but They're just hyper aware of what's expected, and it ends up feeling a lot more forced to me. So that was my season one issue, was that it was overly produced and it just felt very glossy and very almost scripted. Season two, I just haven't really gotten into until recently. And even then it's like, I'm into it, but I'm not like, you have to watch Dubai. Like that's just not been my perspective. I think that Caroline Brooks and Dr. Sarah are having bad seasons in different ways, where like Caroline Brooks is like a person in crisis who's clearly melting down. Like it's hard to watch.
Really?
Like she's a disaster.
Like sad or like evil?
No.
Because I heard it was like kind of bitchy.
Yeah, it's not. She seems unwell, basically, is what she seems
okay.
unhinged.
Okay.
But Dr. Sarah, like her bad season is more just like, I really just do not like watching her. I think she is like a bad housewife. And I think that she has this like storyline about her. He's like her love interest.
Okay.
Who's this like extremely hot German.
Oh, okay.
Guy that obviously was like hired to be her.
Okay.
Like. And there's a lot about like Muslim culture and how she, you know, you can't just like date someone, like you have to get to know them and introduce them to your family. And like only once you're like fully committed, you date to marry. So you can't just like be casual with someone. And I'm like, sure, that's a story that I would be interested in if I felt like this wasn't completely fake. This person who like, it's very weird. Like, it's just the whole thing. Everything with her feels so fake to me. Like the scene where they film and then her son's like calling him his new dad. And it just like feels very like the whole thing just
was
feels...
he doing that as a joke, her son? Or was he?
I think he was maybe coached. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't want to assume a child like was coached, but also like, I don't know.
Honestly, I feel like that's sort of better the best than, case scenario.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or than like he was genuinely confused by like the filming of the show. And that. Anyway, I just like, I find her very irritating. She's never like in the hot seat about all her bullshit the way that like Caroline Brooks has been this season. So I don't find it fun that way. But yeah, I don't know. Chanel Ayan, I think, is having like a really quiet season where she's sort of faded to the background. She also keeps trying. I mean, I think I like her more this season than last season, because last season I thought she was just way too like trying to be iconic immediately. Her outfits are still like that, but I think that she's feels a little bit more integrated into the group, and like I definitely feel like I get her more, but she just isn't popping in the same way. And I think Caroline Stanbury is just kind of correcting her behavior.
Yeah.
Because I mean, Ladies of London was sort of the same thing, where like she's so hot and cold. She's to quote PK, inherently cold. Mm-hmm. I would say Caroline Stanbury, but I think that she can like turn it on when she needs to.
Also, the interesting thing about Caroline Stanbury is she mentioned, I think this was on Instagram maybe, or was it on Watch What Happens? I forget that Caroline Fleming is moving to Dubai. Caroline Fleming from Ladies of London, who's like herself a royal.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a season three where it's both Carolines? I would bet that Caroline Fleming would LOL be interested in returning to a television show.
Yeah.
And she is iconic. I mean, that would be incredible.
I think we might have to just imagine a season three of Dubai because I do not think that show is coming back.
But I feel like they have to have some sort of arrangement, tax something or something else to be filming there because it's obviously so fucking expensive. So I don't even know if it's in their best interest financially to stop at this point.
I still think it costs them a lot of money. Even with that, they have some sort of partnership with the government, but it's not like they're being completely funded. I don't think. They're still paying the women. They're still doing reunions and flying them out for Watch Happens Live, which has got to be really expensive. And like it's still an expensive show. And the ratings are so bad. Like they always say, like everyone on Twitter is always like, oh, Bravo doesn't care about the live ratings anymore, which is probably too true to an extent. But like you can still see the disparity between the ratings for that show and like other Housewives.
Well, I'm going to say it here. I was not planning on saying this because I hadn't decided, but I think I decided in this moment that I want to watch it. I want to talk about it.
I'm super curious now. About your thoughts. But yeah,
I'm curious about my thoughts.
The ratings are the only ratings I've seen that are lower than those ratings are Summer House Martha's Vineyard, which was supposed to be phenomenal.
I heard from everyone that was universally acclaimed.
But has been canceled. So I think...
Put on pause. Put on pause.
Yeah, but like Bravo doesn't cancel shows, so like that makes sense.
They do.
When was the last time they officially canceled something?
I mean, Vanderpump Rules in my head. I don't know.
The thing is, they started to use the pause terminology because
Family Karma. They put on pause too.
But that's just it's. Nothing's canceled forever because like. As we saw with Miami, like shows can come back, but I don't think they're planning on bringing these shows back. Like, I do think that Dallas will probably find another life at some point, like some version of Dallas, just because it's a property that they, you know, they didn't renew it, but they didn't cancel it. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of existing. Like, they might try the Miami route with Dallas. Mm-hmm. Although Miami's been a huge hit for them. Critically, I mean, among the fans, like it's obviously amazing. But ratings wise, it's not a bonanza. So I feel like, I don't know if they feel like Dallas would be. Regardless, I think that I don't think Martha Vineyard is coming back. And I think Dubai will not be renewed, but we'll see.
Ever feel like you're too busy watching a beloved Bravo marathon to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution, like spicy chicken tinga tacos with black beans and pico de gallo, which I got to make and enjoy this week. I was able to swap in a vegan substitute for the chicken and had one of those dishes I will remember. Unlike Padmalakshmi, I am not a top chef. Sunbasket is so easy. It comes with super easy to follow directions. And if I can do it and love doing it in the people's kitchen, so can you. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how your clean eating can change the way you feel. And Sunbasket can fit my lifestyle and many more, including Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more. And as I did, it's super easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. I don't feel constricted by looking at vegan or vegetarian only. Sunbasket makes it possible to eat your best your way. You can swap red meat for chicken or turkey, or like me, swap in a vegan protein. Plus, Sunbasket offers pre-made meals, delicious single-serving meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes, which is just around a commercial break from RHOC. There's something for every health journey, mine included, and every busy lifestyle. It's easy to use Sunbasket to achieve your kind of healthy. Go to sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have some definite self-care non-negotiables. Number one, when temps go down, I need to have a daily stroll. Sometimes those walks are longer than on other days, but what's most important for me is getting outside. It's easy to let priorities slip, and that's where self-care comes in. And when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. I have been going to therapy since 2018, and there has been such a huge shift in my life ever since. It's the single best decision that I made for myself. It's helpful for me personally with positive coping skills, how to set boundaries with loved ones. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/andyscrolls today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/andyscrolls. I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndyScrolls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndyScrolls for 15% off today.
They have to do something with Caroline Stanbury. I don't know why I keep thinking this. I mean, they did. You could say they have to, well, and
make her move back to London and reboot Ladies of London.
I would love that. But her life seems so, she has so much invested in Dubai with like her kids there. And I don't know if her ex moved there. I feel like he did.
No,
did
I don't he think not? He's not there.
Oh, shit. So where's he?
I think
somewhere nearby.
I don't know where he might still be in London. They went to the US together to tour colleges with one of
kids. One of the twins maybe? Oh no, wait, they're younger. Maybe her daughter?
I think her daughter, and then Sergio was like jealous, even though like
This on the show?
Yeah, this was on the show this season. Even though the reality is that like Caroline divorced him and like Sergio moved in like 5 minutes later. So I don't think he needs to like worry about her ex-husband.
Okay. Well, I definitely am planning to hopefully
watch. Yeah, I'm glad people are loving it. It's like, I haven't felt super inspired by it. I feel a little bit muted about, you know, my Housewives watching is definitely in waves where like, there are times when I'm like watching so much that feels so great. And there are times when I'm kind of suffering through it. And I think Dubai for me is like somewhere in the middle where I feel a little bit muted.
That is also the challenge with being a Bravoholic, let alone a content creator, is if I hate this, why do I need to keep watching? And some of that I think might be guilt of like, I can't stop now, which I understand. And the other part is just the hope of like, these things can and often do turn around. You just kind of have to get through some of this to really get to the other side. It's tough when you're in the thick of it. That's why I think the New Jersey pickle is so fascinating, because no one's really arguing here, sit through and suffer this, because on the other side, next season, everything will be great. With the current, I think marketing press challenge is like, suffer through this because we're changing everything. That doesn't necessarily make a person feel, that wouldn't necessarily, you know, make a person feel bonded to continuing to watch this.
And the ratings are bad. The ratings,
well, they should be.
But like, the ratings have gotten worse all season. The thing about Jersey is that I was like defending this season for a while. I was really enjoying it. There was a lot that I really enjoyed. And I feel like it's only been the last couple episodes where I've been like, oh, this is actually such a waste of my time. I cannot believe we're doing this. And the thing is, like, you know, at the beginning of the season, I think we had talked about, I don't know if we talked about it directly. Everyone sort of talked about how like the behind the scenes drama undermined everything because it really kind of disrupted the fiction that they were trying to put out there of like, you know, where these storylines come from and the kind of work they all do behind the scenes to pick at each other. It just exposed that in a way that kind of ruined the season. Mm-hmm. And the further we get into it, the more you see that and how like the whole last episode, like doesn't really make any sense. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm glad they played Teresa's revelation as a big, like sad trombone moment. But it's even dumber in the context of what we know that was happening behind the scenes with her and Jen.
Totally, totally agree. I do want to deep dive Jersey with you, but before we do that, want to make a pit stop in Orange County.
Sure.
Because I watched the newest episode, we're recording this on Friday afternoon, watched it late this morning, and I just the entire time was like, this feels like a warm blanket.
Yeah.
This feels like a little zesty, lemon-scented nine in a bowl refresher, which P.S. I finally this morning had to throw away the nine lemons in a bowl that I had for Shannon because I realized
did
one
you
of them,
like buy the lemons right before she came?
100%. Great. I like braved the heat and I ran to the grocery store right nearby and grabbed nine, was so proud of myself for removing the sticker and put it in a Young Alum Award I won for my alma mater, which has since been sold to like a corporation known as Northeastern. And, you know, made a point of being like, these are for you, my queen. But I just noticed that eight were fine and one was terrible, and yeah. I just felt like they need to be with their family.
They served
together.
Their purpose.
They did serve it. When life hands you lemons, you need to throw away all nine when they start to rot. And
that's
and
a good tagline.
I think instead of holes rather, could focus on that bowl instead. So yeah, I think that there's just something so delightful and delicious about what we're watching on Orange County right now, because, you know, you talk about New Jersey and stakes and like things just being so dark and bleak off camera and the show limiting itself from what it can really explain about what's going on. Then I look at Orange County, and I don't know how to say this in a season where like Shannon just had a DUI, but like the most recent episode, I just watched it and I thought to myself, this is so right. This yeah. is what I need for those of us stuck inside from the summer heat and whatever else. Like, this is, I want to see people fighting about whether or not Heather Dubrow hired a paparazzi to take a shot of her and Terry hugging at Disney. Which one's the
Disneyland.
California? Disneyland. Which, sidebar, the thing that I think they mentioned on the episode but is probably getting forgotten in how people talk about the episode, the timing of the Disneyland paparazzi shot to me is super fucking important because it's right after there's been commentary on the show or speculation online about Heather and Terry maybe not doing well, that it's right after. The timing of that to me is key. But I just watched the episode and I just thought, this is exactly right. This is exactly what I want to watch and exactly the right kind of energy.
I mostly agree.
What on earth?
No, the energy is perfect. I agree with that.
What are you going to disagree about? Jen, what are you going to disagree about?
No, first of all, I love Orange County. I loved last season, and I think the season is great. I think that as much as I like the light conflict, I just didn't necessarily want to rehash this particular conflict. It felt a little bit like going backwards because we kind of had the whole attempted Heather takedown season. I was more interested for Katie, right?
Mm-hmm. Katie Janella.
Yes, there we go. Who I really like, who I think has a great energy. When she was sort of like, Heather just doesn't really give a shit about me and like sort of try to ice me out and all of that, like that was more interesting to me than her having this like ammo about the paparazzi thing, only because we already had this conflict. So for me, I was like, like that's not as interesting to me as just like Heather being cold to a new person.
But I think it's okay to have both.
Sure, it's not like derailing it for me. I just was like, I was a little bit less enthused when I realized we were going to be rehashing that. Like, I was just a little bit like, okay, like, I also just think that she obviously hired or called paparazzi, and I don't really know where we're going to get with this.
Well, I have questions about the paparazzi, but I do think it's not, I hear you that, like, yeah, technically it is like rehash, it's referencing something that's already been litigated on prior seasons, but I feed off the energy of everyone else in the cast watching this and kind of like having a giggle, but also being terrified for Katie, but also having a giggle when they say they're being terrified for Katie. There's just something about it where it's like Heather knows at this point, unlike one could argue last season when it felt like everyone was against her, right now that's not the space that she's in. She knows that she has potential allies, and maybe more importantly, she also knows that she, well, maybe not more importantly, but she knows there are going to be people who are going to shut the fuck up. They're not going to stand with Katie. Maybe they're going to talk to her about it, but she's in a different position, probably more secure in her power structure than she was last season, in a way that I think is very positive for us at home watching, because I don't feel like, God forbid, Heather Dubrow is going to leave Orange County because Katie's talking about paparazzi. I don't feel like Heather feels like she's being pushed out of this show. I feel like she's trying to assert herself, or even maybe reassert herself, with this newbie who's coming in loaded with a lot of passive aggressive feelings about her. And I fucking love it. I love it. And I love, you know what I love about Katie, and I don't actually love Katie, is that her personality, her presence, the tone of her voice is so calm, and it feels very confident and comfortable that, like, even if I don't agree with her behavior, she was good casting. I think she was good casting.
Yeah, I think she has a good energy that I just enjoy watching, and maybe it is her voice. Like, her, just like I said, her vibe just feels
comfortable.
Right.
It feels comfortable.
I think that, yeah, I mean, it was really just the last episode where I was like, again, still enjoying it. It's still a great season so far. I was just like, I saw Heather's point, which, and I'm not a Heather soldier, but I did see her point that, like, Katie came in with an agenda, and I think the difference between Katie and Alexis for me, because Alexis obviously also came in with, like, an agenda too.
Did she?
She might have. Really? She might have.
Oh, okay. Is okay. That, like, interesting. Interesting.
Alexis is flopping at it in a way that I find very entertaining.
Yeah.
And Katie, I want to like her. I want to, like, I'm trying to get to know her. And so I kind of wish she would have maybe, like, stalled out on this a little bit, or, like, taken a little bit of a, like, waited a little bit longer, or taken a different approach, because now it's like, it's easier to dismiss her, for Heather to dismiss her as someone who joined the show and immediately was like, I have ammo against Heather. I want to, like, this is the conflict that I want to have. It feels a little like, for a new housewife, I don't love that energy right away. I love Katie's energy, but I don't love, like, what she's bringing to the show right away when it's, let me take down the queen bee.
Conversely, one could argue that she's introducing herself by being like, I'm not allowing you to dismiss me.
Well, that's what I mean. That, but that conflict to me was more, felt more real, for her to be like, Heather did not give a shit about me until I was cast in the show, which she's not saying, but that's the implication there, basically, is that, like, I have met Heather multiple times, but until I was here in this context, she ignored me. Like, that part is more interesting to me than, like, I know from a paparazzi wrangler that she did this.
But I think the show is focusing on both. I just think the ending happened paparazzi specific because there is this dumb text message that means nothing.
Okay, we need to talk about that because I actually don't understand.
So I went back because I was like, what the fuck is this? Because there's a video that's like RHOC. So maybe it's a video having something to do with Heather and photos or something else. And then it's Katie asking this anonymous person who isn't on Instagram, because they don't want anybody to know they work as a paparazzi agent or something, which makes no sense to me. But just saying, can you confirm that Heather called the paparazzi, and them just saying yes, and us all screaming with, like, the cast, Tamara being like, this is the Holy Grail. I'm not really getting
so
that.
When she, right, because when she said, I have a screenshot, I think Tamara thought what I thought, which is that she has a screenshot
of Heather
asking for it. But I was like, well, your screenshot is some random guy saying yes to this. Like, why would I? Like, again, I do believe that Heather somehow tipped them off, because that makes sense to me. But then it's like, why would I believe this random person, a screenshot of them saying, like, it's a little bit, like, not really great proof.
Well, and also you're like, trust me, even though I can't give any identifying information about this person because they want to be private. So just take my word for it that they know.
Yeah.
I don't even know you.
I think I would. Yeah. I think I would. The whole thing, I was like, I agree with you. The show is focusing on both things, but I wish that like the two things felt more related. Like if, because what she's trying to say with the paparazzi thing is like Heather is a liar,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't feel like the same thing with like Heather is elitist, Heather mm-hmm. is exclusionary. Like that feels like a separate complaint that I think she would have more luck pursuing, because a lot of the women on this cast feel that way about Heather. So why not take that route? The Heather is a liar thing just feels kind of like we're not going to get anywhere here.
I think that's happening. I think she is focusing on that. That's just like the final hole in one. That's just like the final fucking, you know, shot. And I think because she's now saying she has proof, it's landing more with Heather, also because she is accusing her of being a liar. But the other stuff, I'm sure, will be focused yeah. on as we move forward into the season. And I do think it has been the focus. I have to ask, Heather has four children. Number one, I don't care if she has never even heard the word paparazzi in her life. We need to, as a union, as a community, put a moratorium on swearing on your children. I don't ever want to do that again. It makes stuff sound so superficial, and it's such a gross thing. And I get it. It's like, on my whatever. I know the point is to say, I never did this, and I need you to take me seriously and believe me. But the flip side of that is that we have seen situations where housewives are like, on my kid, blah, 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 blah. And then we find out that they were mistaken. Yeah. Sometimes accidentally, they really didn't remember. And oftentimes they did and just wanted to kind of get out of the heat for a second. I just hate it so much. We got to stop. We have to stop.
I agree. I agree. It's not, it just never sounds good. And it's like, even if you think it doesn't mean anything, it's just a weird thing to say. And also, like, imagine your kids seeing that and
being like, this is what you're going to put my life on?
Yeah, I don't love it. One more thing about Katie's complaints about Heather.
Many more things.
But that I was, like, a little bit like, what are we trying to do here? When she was sort of, like, complaining about how Heather asked mutual friends about her, I was like, isn't that like the most normal housewife behavior? That's so innocuous to me. That's yeah. like a step down from asking for dirt on someone, which like, again, is also normal housewife behavior to ask like whatever, like to try to get dirt on a person on the show. But to just say like, what's their deal? What are they like? Like, why is that a problem? That seems so normal.
I don't even think that's a step down on any kind. I think that's just you're joining a show or you're starting work. You find out you have a mutual friend who's a coworker.
Yeah.
Of course you're going to find out their energy. Like yeah. That's nothing to me. I do have a question, noting that Heather has four children and they're all, I'm sure, technologically savvy, how a woman doesn't understand how to tag someone on Instagram. At that point, I'm like, well, then.
Oh, I forgot about
this. Should not be
tag.
The thing where I say like, well, now you definitely have too much money. But like, you should not have a social, I guess. Well, I don't want to take any money out of anybody's pocket. But like, you don't know how to tag somebody in a post on Instagram. You have to pay somebody to, you're just do, you need to. It's so stupid because she has more money than literal gods. Like, can I please have a loan? Like, it just feels so dumb to me because I'm like, you can, okay, a lot of these people have social media folks who are responsible for answering their DMs. That's something that a lot of housewives have where it's, you're not specifically talking to this person. They're doing DMs, they're doing comments, but you don't know how to upload a photo on Instagram and tag Givenchy. Like, that to me, and also part B to that is like, I have inadvertently almost tagged yeah. people before, because yeah, when you start typing in a thing, it's just going to go to whomever. But never have I started to tag somebody and maybe a different name comes up and it's a complete stranger. It's usually people that I've tagged, who I've DM'd, something else. So the idea that Katie Janella, or, and I'm sorry, I think I'm fucking up her name, so apologies, Katie G pops
GI though.
Yeah, GI. I get GI, I just think it's a leap from Givenchy to a random stranger. I'm saying at this point I've never heard of, who happens to live in the same town.
But why would she intentionally have tagged Katie? I don't even understand what the
I don't think that's the other thing, is that Katie is saying she tagged her intentionally. That to me does not make sense.
Yeah.
But I also don't understand
it's a weird mistake, but it makes sense to me as like a thing that could happen. And like, the other thing is, like, you know, the Instagram algorithm, like, this is a person who's like, maybe like she had just been announced for the show, or a lot bunch of other mm-hmm. Heather people had followed her. Like, there's a reason why her name might have popped up, I think, based on,
but
like,
Instagram isn't in those conversations. Instagram's not having a martini standing nearby these women talking about Katie.
No, but they might have other people that Heather follows and interacts with, their tags. might have followed, might have tagged her. Like,
that makes more sense.
There's an algorithmic reason, I believe, why that could happen. Someone screwed
Zuckerberg is a friend of. Yeah.
Someone screwed up and tagged the wrong thing. That's embarrassing.
That does make sense to me.
But for me, I'm just like, I don't really know what Katie thinks. It's not like she was being passive aggressive, because what would she even be trying to do by tagging her?
I guess if you were living in Katie's delightful mind, you're thinking, this woman ignored me and now she's trying to say I'm not ignoring you, but also look at me or something. She's trying to sarcastically welcome her to the group by tagging her in a photo that she's not in. It's a photo of Heather herself.
Yeah,
I don't know. The math isn't mathing.
Yeah, I don't know Katie well enough, obviously, to have a real opinion, but I think part of what's kind of like rubbing me the wrong way is that she seems kind of normal. And if she seemed delusional and she was like, she did this to me and she believes it, I would enjoy that more. But it seems like she's kind of, this is what I mean, she's like looking for reasons to be mad at Heather, to take Heather down, that feel like the initial complaint made sense to me and I believe it. And then everything since then has felt like a little too orchestrated, and we just had a Heather takedown season. So I just don't love someone coming in with the energy of like, let me throw this all at Heather and see what sticks.
Conversely, I think if she has had situations where she felt like Heather either only acknowledged her because she found out she was being cast in the show, or just seemed to look through her, I could understand why she's bringing that up after joining the group, because it's the Kelly Bensimone.
That part, that's what I'm saying. That part makes sense to me. It's just like everything since then, where I'm like, You're going, you know, what, episode 4?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like it's a little bit much where it's like, I would have held off on the paparazzi thing for a little while longer and just like, you know, wait till you're like a little bit better and then drop it like mid-season. I don't know.
I wouldn't have done that.
You obviously don't know how long.
Because also Heather's not going to want to get to know you if she feels like you're coming for her. So you might as well put everything in the same pot.
Well, yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Well, I like her, and I think that the show's casting has obviously improved 1,000-fold. Like, it's, you know, I think that these are people and the connections feel real. And I love that there's so many connections to the greater Housewives universe that also feel real, because like, it makes sense. And we know, you know, and Sutton and Cynthia are so close that like, it just like it all, it feels very natural. And I think that's great. But yeah, I think that when you come into a show like this, you have to think about like, I think you want to make a name for yourself and you want to stand out. But to me, like, there are way better ways to do that than to go this hard at someone right away.
Devil's advocate is that Katie is doing a better job of falling on her sword, dealing with things in a way that Anna Marie never quite figured out, because Anna Marie's argument after the fact is production kept telling me to bring this stuff and reference it, and then decided that she had no ability or role in how that was going to play out. What I'm seeing here a little bit with Katie is potentially, which I'm not saying this is like a conspiracy or anything, but like, you're joining the show, you're talking with producers about what you're going to reference, and there's some sort of conversation of like, this would be a good time to do it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if in the alternate universe of like Housewives of Orange County behind the scenes, there was some sort of conversation of this is going to happen. You know, it might be a good idea, or like, oh, that's some interesting stuff. Oh, look at your Google Cal. You guys are golfing tomorrow. Just keep that in mind. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if there had been some sort of suggestion along the way of like, this would be a good time. And she's just handling it better than Anna Marie wanted to or could.
Yeah. It's so funny because I was thinking, there was another person recently who I felt like was going too hard when they joined the show, and I completely blanked on who it was because Anna Marie, you know, I instantly forgot about her.
But, thank God. That's the best case scenario.
Truly. bless. I think you're right. There obviously is a production element that I don't think about sometimes, because I don't want to think too much about how much of, you know, how much production is pushing them. But yes, of course, like, she would have spoken to them heavily about her relationships with the people on the show and what she thought of them and all of this. And they would absolutely be encouraging her to bring this stuff up.
The flip side of what I'm saying is the women use that as an excuse of like, you cannot hold me responsible for my behavior because I was allowing myself or in a position where I was used as a puppet. And it's also the argument of like, it's the edit. You guys didn't see what really happened. I'm being edited poorly, yada, yada, yada. Some of that might be real. And that is something, but it is also this kind of like parallel universe where we have to imagine a world in which all of this makes sense, all of this would exist. It's the quote unquote friend circle. Like there's a wink at this point when these women say, I'm in this friend
circle.
Did
you see Shannon catch herself?
Oh.
Was it Shannon? I think it was Shannon.
I thought it was Heather. Oh, someone said friend circle.
I thought it was Shannon who was saying when I first, she said, she basically was going to say when I first joined.
Oh, like was
and then,
cast?
And then said when I first, and then started saying join, turn it into like
friend circle.
Yeah. You there was like a
100%. There was this like awkward moment of like, what's the terminology that I need to use?
Where when we were in New York.
Right. Exactly.
It's so funny.
There is a little bit, or when I was on Watch What Happens Live, whichever it was, that is the little bit of a like, go with us on in this journey and know that, hold on, let me hold your microphone so you can open our friend of the pod, Fiji Water. We love the best water for the best guests. There you go. You got it. Turtle time.
I really struggled to open that bottle of water.
You really did. And it was wonderful. But with there is this like idea that we don't want to use it as an excuse in the ways that housewives do. But quote unquote friend circle. It's a hashtag friend circle of like there are also other things happening here. It does not mean everything is fake, but it does mean that there might be just a little bit of a zhuzh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I it was fun. The whole way that story came out about the paparazzi was interesting because like she told Gina, and I don't know if they film that scene. I can't remember if we had a flashback of that or not.
Yeah, we saw did, it because so Gina was like, don't do it.
Okay, right. So she did bring it up on camera on purpose. Mm-hmm. I'm loving
when she came over with cookie supplies for Gina's kids. But doesn't Gina have like 3 or 4 children? She brought 2 of those. That stayed with me. I don't know why. Okay, anyway, continue.
I thought it was so interesting. I think the way that like the women are being diplomatic is so interesting to me, and like what they're willing to, who they're willing to burn and who they're not. Like, I thought it was fascinating the way that Gina did not want to get on Heather's bad side by like basically was like, let me shut this down instead of trying to make this a thing, because Gina does not want beef with Heather right now. Similarly, when Jen called Shannon to complain about Gina, and Shannon was like, oh, that's so tough, but like would not talk shit about Gina because she does not want to get on Gina's bad side. I love watching that. I love watching the kind of mental, the calculations they're doing to be like, who can I afford to speak ill of right now? And that to me is more interesting than the actual conflict in a lot of ways.
Also, I think that Heather might be watching these episodes and thinking, oh, okay, got it. Because sure, could and or should Gina have run off to Heather and said, this is what's happening, prepare yourself? Yeah, you can make that argument, especially if you're Heather. But I think in watching these episodes, she can see that Gina is clearly saying to Katie, if you don't talk about this with her, I am going to talk to her. And then we see the teaser for next week's episode, and it's Heather dragging Gina, which I understand, because she's saying you should have told me this stuff. I think it is helpful potentially in watching these episodes, an opportunity for Heather to see that Gina, sure, she didn't immediately call you. I get that. I understand being upset, but she did clearly say to this person, if you do not tell her, I am going to.
And Gina needs this job. So I feel like Gina's not going to send you a quiet text being like, heads up, this is being talked about. Like, she would want to do it on camera because it's like, that's what's expected of her. Production already knows about this. So she's kind of like, you know, in a position where she has to either say it to Heather directly or whatever. It's going to come out regardless. Like, but I think what Heather would have, ideally what she would have wanted is a private message, phone call, whatever, from Gina giving her a heads up. And I feel like that was not an option for Gina.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about this episode is like, there was one moment where I think it was Katie who started to bring things up with Heather, and it flashed to a confessional with Tamara. And Tamara, it was like the line delivery of it and also the edit where it went straight from Katie and then straight to Tamara. And she just said, like, bye, Katie. Like, there was just some kind of, and I just laughed so hard because it was so perfectly timed, because that really does get into the, like, who are you going to choose to go up against? And if you start with Heather Dubrow, just prepare yourself. She's going to knock you the fuck down.
Yeah.
And those are the moments with Tamara that I really like. Like, there was even a moment where, like, Shannon and Tamara were shooting the shit with each other and, like, laughing or explaining something during the golf session, which I really liked seeing. And then we get the teaser for next week and Tamara's screaming at Shannon about $75,000. And I just think, like, I don't want to say that Tamara made a bad call. And I do think that there's nuance here with a level of exhaustion that Tamara felt, but she's just going in so strong and so strident. And I'm like, it does feel like kicking down.
Yeah.
Like, it really feels and like punching down.
Yeah. But, like, Tamara makes a lot of bad calls. Like, mm-hmm. Tamara's like, the thing about Tamara is, like, she's been an incredible housewife and she's like, she transformed the entire genre of housewives. She, like, you know, has had real staying power. Even though she was eventually fired, she did come back and has proven her worth since then. But also, like, she's made historically so many, she's hitched her cart to the wrong horse, like, many, many times.
Well, isn't she her own horse?
Yeah. Well, I guess okay. The analogy doesn't quite work, okay. Or the metaphor, whatever. But she also, like, she just makes a lot of bad choices. And I think that, like, deciding to go against Shannon this season was a dumb choice, because you have to know how, like, these shows work and, like, how redemption arcs work. And, like, there was never a version where, like, I don't think anyone would have wanted a season of Shannon just being drunk and sad. Like, if they, I don't know what she was imagining would happen this season.
Who was imagining? Tamara.
I just can't see a version where it was, like, after the DUI, it was a season of Shannon just being, she's drinking too much and she's a problem and she's miserable and her life's falling apart. Like, even if that were the case, like, why would we want to see Tamara then being shitty to her during that? And she's having, so far, a pretty good season. It's like a comeback. It's whatever. It's her redemption. Like, we still don't want to, like, Tamara trying to take her down during that doesn't really work either. I just can't see a version of, like, this season where Tamara's behavior made sense. And I know that Tamara in her mind is, or her storyline is, like, she's playing this like it's an organic thing that happened and this is the reason why she stepped away. But, like, we know that Tamara goes into every season deciding who her friends and enemies are. And I just feel like it was a really poorly thought out decision to go against Shannon.
Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andyscrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andyscrolls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. It's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is a glow. And now I'm thinking about The Wedding Planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin: serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's Deluxe Kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with J-Lo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that J-Lo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls.
Yeah, I think Tamra lives and dies by the idea that hurt people, and it's the thing that she can always hide behind, is I'm only doing this because you hurt my feelings, which normalizes and forgives any really, really, really below the belt behavior. And this is what ultimately previously, I think, knocked her out, is that it just became too fucking dark. And I'm not saying she's anywhere close to that at this point. And I'm obviously really happy she's on the show, but I don't, and I also hashtag stand for Shan. So I don't know what the greater audience is thinking. That's not a judgment. I'm just saying, I literally don't know like who's on whose side. I'm not quite sure, but I see her and I'm just like, you chose the wrong horse. You really thought that Alexis was doing something and you mistook quality for noise. She's just loud. Alexis's volume is loud. That does not mean other people are interested in listening, let alone agreeing with her.
Well, it's also,
so how do you choose John Jansen?
That's what I was just gonna say.
How do you choose Jonathan, John Jay,
Johnny J?
J, Johnny Rockets Jansen. Like, how do you choose? How do you look at that guy? It's like choosing Brooks because you're upset at Vicky.
Yeah,
you know Brooks is a piece of shit. So it's like, be like referencing $75,000. I do also just have to side. So you're getting me on a rant because we're talking about Shannon. I do also, and I'm speaking at a very, very quick pace. I do also just have to say that whatever happened with $75,000, it was not a $75,000 facelift.
No.
There was a plastic surgical element involving her punum, but that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Did I use that correctly?
Yeah.
I think it's rich. Reform. I mean, how else? But also, there were other things.
Yeah.
It was a cash flow issue.
Right, the thing that's so bizarre about all of this is that, like, I think when Tamara was most correct and when, like, she kind of took this path of righteousness on the show was when she went against Vicky and Brooks. Like, she was, like, that was when, and they flash back to that.
That's my opinion.
That was Tamara's sort of peak, because she was, like, voice of reasoning, basically, yeah. Of, like,
she had a reason.
You're
to
my
be
best friend. You've been my one ally on the show mm-hmm. the whole time, but also this man is bad news and I will mm-hmm. never support him and whatever. Mm-hmm. Even though you're my friend, my soulmate, my family, whatever that...
My sister.
As Vicky said.
Sister circle.
But, like, that's part of the miscalculation is, like, you filmed with John Jansen for these many years. You know how awful this person is. So why would you ever believe that people are going to be rooting for him and Alexis? Like, it's not even about a girl code thing. It's about, like, this guy sucks. And you know this lawsuit is... bullshit. Like, you know that whatever money he's trying to get out of Shannon is not based in reality, because you knew that she was paying for everything. You knew that he was like a leech, allegedly.
I can say factually.
So
what's he gonna do?
I don't know.
I'm not inviting a problem, but I'm also like, he's such a piece of shit. This is an opinion podcast.
I just feel
small,
like,
little
like
man
how...
with a big dick apparently, but small little man.
Why would you knowing all of that and having that context, like, go this route for Tamara? Like, I just don't understand. I don't get it. I really don't get it. It's just a lot of bad choices to go against Shannon. And yes, as you're saying, to ride for Alexis and John is just, like, bizarre behavior. And now she's, like, saying things like, I always liked John. And it's like, we watched the show. We know this is not true.
Okay, so here's my question. If you are Tamara, who is very aware of what's going on in the Housewives universe and in the... like Housewives social media universe, also because you host this super, super successful pod with Teddy Joe Carrot. If you, I'm for real, like, how is Tamara reacting, do you think, to maybe a segment of the audience being like, this was the wrong move? Is she someone who's thinking to herself, I need to recalibrate? Does she do the thing that a lot of housewives do, especially peak housewives, where they just turtle down, tunnel in, and they're like, I know I'm right, and I just need to, and everything else, any kind of critique is just noise? Like, how do you think that she is receiving this? Because I don't know, I don't think she's talking about any of it.
She is doubling down. She's been, like, posting receipts.
Of what?
Of text messages and stuff. Like, she just posted something that was, like, about quitting, like, Tres Amigas, that was, like, the text thread that of, like, their booker asking her to do the show. And then
Paris,
she's saying...
Paris, France.
I don't know if it was Paris or someone else texting her. And then she was saying, basically, like, in her response, like, that Vicky and Shannon had been so horrible to her and she would never work with them again and all this stuff. So, like, she's doubling down.
Huh. Okay, so
You're looking at the text now?
Yeah, I missed this. I'm so sorry, because I just saw her doing, like, commercials on her stories, which I love. Okay, so she posted something 16 hours ago, and it's a screenshot with... Can we just take a moment? Naming your child Paris. I just love the foresight of that. Like, you know your kid, you believe so strongly, like, this child is going to be in something. I'm going to name it Paris or London.
Do you think
or
that's
Dallas.
Where that child was conceived?
Ugh. I don't know.
That's how a lot of kids
I mean, I could have been Providence,
a
I guess.
Lot of kids get named that way, and...
And you want to remember...
Do you want your kid to think about that's where they fucked?
No, I want to think, like, where do I get the best croissant? Not, like, who is stuffing mommy by the Eiffel Tower? I'm so sorry. Okay, wait. So she's shared a screenshot of a text with her and Paris. Oh, and I wish I could
see... Oh, it is
Paris,
okay.
I wish I could see what Paris's, like, little image is. Oh, it's something talent. Oh, she took that out. Okay, just, you know, in the address book when people have their, like, photo. So you have a specific photo that you see in a text. And
wait,
is this only the...
So yeah, I do. I just what? Really, I have to remember, before I forget, I just have to say this really quickly.
Tell me.
That, did you notice that Dolores has Jen Fessler in her phone as...
Jen, Siggy's friend?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
And there's something about that. We will get to New Jersey, but there's just something about that where I'm like, it's obviously such a burn, but I also think it's a like necessary burn. I think Jen Fessler it's a deserved burn.
Yeah,
I think she deserves to be burned a little bit.
I agree. Okay, sorry. I just was thinking about context.
We're like staring at each other with like love in our eyes because we're thinking about, I think, just Jen Fessler. Okay, so it's a screenshot that says, it's from Paris, Wednesday, December 6th. And it says, "Hey, Tamara, hope all is well. You're killing it. So I have a trace offer. March 13 in Austin and 14 in Houston, redacted. More than the last round." Oh, I wish she had told us how much that money was. "Vicky, Shannon, and Doug are in. Do you want me to proceed? Let me know your thoughts. I will send the firm offer tomorrow if you're in." And then Tamara wrote on top of that for us, "Dumb and Dumber did not ask me to do another Tres Amigos show." Dumb and Dumber. Oh my God, that almost makes me laugh. "The agent did, and I responded to him. They knew I didn't want to move forward, and why?" Wait a second, but that's not countering what they have said previously.
Yeah, I didn't understand
their whole
this.
Point was that she went through the agent and not them. Anyway, there's another screenshot that she sent 2 days later on December 8th. At 9:18 in the morning, it's important. "Good morning. Thank you for the offer. However, I no longer wish to do business with Shannon or Vicky. Shannon's drinking problem is too much for me to handle anymore. They both continue to talk negatively about me to others and feed their disgusting friend, redacted, information about my life that she repeats on her podcast."
I was trying to figure out who that was.
Oh, can you imagine if it was me? And I was just like finding out now that I've been mentioned, but redacted. I would be so upset.
Promo?
Who has a podcast?
No, I was like, I was like
literally rocking. It wasn't Andy's Girls.
I was like, who has a podcast? That
was a podcast, and it's a and where we know it's a woman. She repeats on her podcast. Can't think of a single one.
We'll have to discuss.
Can you imagine if it was Teddy Jones?
That's not
the
podcast.
Yeah, we will discuss that off podcast. That's not the kind of people/friends I want to continue to do business with. But again, I think that their argument wasn't why did you leave the show. Although obviously that is a part of their argument of why did you leave the tour, but also the fact that they told that Tamara did this with Paris, France,
instead of through them,
and then that's it. Those are the two receipts.
My point though with that is that she's posting receipts because I don't think she can recalibrate right now. There's too much season left for her to recalibrate. Like, I think she's seeing the reaction and she's seeing both the edit Shannon's getting and the response from the fans about Shannon, and I look at her replies on Twitter when Tamara posts and it's a lot of "you're a snake" pro Shannon stuff. I mean, that's going to be a lot of a mix with anyone who posts. Like,
yeah.
But I do think that the fandom is much more on Shannon's side than she expected. I just feel like it's too early in the season for her to try to recalibrate that way, because how would she explain the rest of her behavior this season?
This is also the who, what, when, where, why of Tamara leaving Tres Amigas. We're getting bogged down by parts of it, but not the whole. And I thought the bigger argument that Vicky had with her issue with Tamara was, "You're disrespecting my friend Shannon, and I don't like the way you're treating her, but also you did not tell me you were leaving the tour." And Paris, God bless him, is not Victoria Gungvalson, or as Teresa just referenced her on her podcast, Gungvalson, which I've watched that clip
so many
times.
Vicky's a pro. She didn't even flinch.
No, because she's a pro.
Because she's a pro.
She knew.
I loved it.
I love that moment. But I don't know. I feel like Tamara is selectively hearing some of this. And I actually don't even begrudge her for some of it if she feels like this is a lie or inaccurate. But she's choosing not to get the bigger picture, which is both of these women felt disrespected. And spoiler alert, you can do bad things. You can get arrested. You can do things that you regret, that you're filmed with guilt and shame for. But that's not the only part of Shannon. That does not mean that because Shannon did not treat herself properly, that that gives you permission to disrespect her.
Like,
we're making these. It's the same thing with Alexis saying you can't believe Shannon because she's a drunk. You can't believe the entirety of her 4.5 year relationship or however long it was because she's a drunk. Like, that's because she got a DUI. It's ridiculous.
I mean, Tamara is a really hard one because Tamara is like maybe the least authentic housewife in terms of like, I think that she
on
is
cast or are you saying universally?
Oh, she's up there.
Wait,
I love Tamara as a housewife. I just feel like she is so much, she is more calculated than the average housewife. She has had for the past however many years on Orange County, a storyline every season that feels like a storyline that is like so deliberate. Her, you know, even before she was sort of Tamara as we know her now, just because she's kind of escalated. Like, do you remember the season where she was coming in? And she's like, actually, I like Gretchen now, and we are best friends. Because she was like, I want to try that alliance. Like, she's just,
and that was to fuck with,
I think, Vicky, right? Or not? I have to rewatch Orange County because
was that during a Dubrow kind of thing?
I think it was.
No,
that
was
must have been.
I forget
before that.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a game player, so I just feel like it's always harder with her because, like. Obviously, with any housewife at this point, like there's an element of like for the show. But I think with Tamara, I never really worry about her actual feelings on something because I always feel like it's something outside of that. It's always about like, you know, her place in this universe and her place on the show. So it's a, like her actual reasons for turning on Vicky and Shannon feel, it feels so much more about the show and her alliances or her not than about how she really feels about Shannon's drinking.
I think how she's going about it is more about the show than anything else. But I also think her behavior might not change if she wasn't on the show, because you're still using the universe and environment of housewives, of press, of media, of her podcast to amplify her view and like, quote unquote, weaponize it as best she possibly can. So I don't know that her behavior would have changed had she been on TV this season or not, but I also owe that to being a part of this greater universe.
It's hard to say because I think that she ultimately doesn't give a shit about them, like outside. Like, I don't.
Do you really think?
I really think that to some degree she just doesn't really care. I mean, it was like, wasn't the whole thing with like her and Shannon that like Shannon did, she said that Shannon dropped her after she left the show and she didn't, but they were like really, it seems like Tamara kind of.
But everyone dropped her.
Right. I just don't know how at this point how real those relationships are, where I don't know how much of this. I'm sure there is an element of actual love there. I'm sure there is an element of actual hurt there. But Tamara has become such a like housewife machine to me that always just dominates everything else. I don't know. If the show weren't there, don't you feel like she would have found a way to keep doing the live show because it's like income and relevancy?
Sure. Yeah, but also I think that there were other challenges here. I still fervently believe, potentially based on nothing, but I don't think so, that a part of the issue here was scheduling, because she was doing or planning or thinking about doing a live event with Carrot. So it's like, I don't know.
I'm sorry. It makes me laugh every time.
So I don't know. I can't even left turn. I'm going to just say that lady is going to cameo later on in the season.
I know.
And if, God forbid, it's not going to happen. She's too desperate. We don't want it. We don't want it so viscerally that I don't think that they would punish us with this.
With Teddy?
Yeah. She cannot friend of. She cannot. She won't. It's not the season. Saying it cannot happen. No, she wants it desperately. We need to unite as a country. I know that we're divided, but get out the vote. Teddy Jo Carrot can never return in any kind of consistent capacity aside from cameo plus, because she is besties with Kyle.
Yeah, but look how hard Kyle has tried, and the show is like, we are not interested.
Choose a lane.
She can show up in the background. We will not give her a Chiron. We will not give her anything but Garcelle making fun of her. And
God bless.
Like, it's, I don't think that, I think the production knows that she is kind of
toxic.
She is one of the floppiest flops of housewives, and it's incredible that she's made this career for herself outside of that, like, great. But I don't think that anyone involved in production wants Teddy back on the shows, any of the shows.
I just want to make sure, if you're Susan production listening, that you know that we do not want this. And remember how I said I don't boycott? I still don't boycott, so I would watch every episode, but I'm just saying I don't want it. And I do just also have to say that if she comes and she gets more than one fucking line, which is some dumb pre-scripted written bullshit toward Vicky Gungleson, if she says one fucking thing and people don't follow up about All In, I swear to God, I'm gonna lose my shit, because that lady should have absolutely been fired. But for her to come back in any kind of area and us ignore the fact that she's running an anorexia factory is fucking nuts. So nobody's going to, can you imagine? This will never happen ever because Tamara knows where her bread is buttered and it's buttered with some, I don't know,
carrot
scented margarine. Like, it's just, if someone could reference that, that would be wonderful, but it will never happen because they do have this, like, yeah, incredibly. And again, my plea, Teddy, Jo Carrot, I would love to have her on Andy's Girls.
Well, that, if she's listening, which she probably is, I don't know that she's going to like
how... If I could do metadata, well, and put her name in it so when she has her Google results thing.
Can I just say something about prescripted lines? Because please. Prescripted line is so... falls with such a thud that I actually can't stop thinking about it.
Which it's
is
iconic.
What is,
it's
which is
iconic
what has happened with There's the Door, Shannon Bedore, which is like one of the dumbest things anyone has said on a Housewives show, but it is an intrusive thought now. I think about it all the time because it's so stupid and it was so like, and what's so funny about that is that like Shannon's energy was, she was so at peace and so zen in that conversation, so she easily won, and Alexis is just like has all these like lines she's written or her writers came up with that she has to like, you know, cycle through, so she drops that and it's the most like nothing burger of a line, but it is iconic because it's such a flop. Like, I really think that, like, it's a great Housewives line for how bad it is.
I just remember, because I was there for that taping at BravoCon, if I'm remembering the right taping, because I was there for a couple, the Watch What Happens taping, where it was, like, End That Feud or whatever. What's it called? Something.
Squash That
Beef. And it was Vicky and Teddy, and Teddy came in, surprised Vicky, who didn't know she was going to be there, and then had that pre-scripted delivery line about January 6th. It didn't go anywhere. Oh, also the cancer thing. It did not land in any way with Vicky. The entire audience was like, boo! And then during commercials, if I remember correctly, we were like, Vicky, Vicky, like, did not land at all. And then allegedly she was backstage crying because she cannot, if you can't handle the heat, stay out of the kitchen, a place she does not know well, because of All In. If you cannot
handle the heat. You have to chop your carrot somewhere.
You have to. And also, if anybody, even though I've referenced this 1,000 times, but the carrot thing is because if you join All In, which is not specific to anorexia, it is just a full eating disorder factory. So I just want to make sure that we are being open to every eating disorder that you can possibly get because of a result of her deeply dangerous psychotic program, that she continues not to have a single kind of like medical expert involved with. She had MLM. It's like a literal MLM. She has people who are on the program who are now coaches, because you don't want anybody who has a background in nutrition who might be asking basic questions of like, is this responsible or safe? But a part of her program is like, if you want to have like a hashtag sweet treat, you can have a carrot. So I, when that came out, when there were like the Business Insider and all these things, I did comment on her post and said like, do I have permission as like a sweet treat to have a carrot? And she did block me immediately, which was unfortunate.
I had some roasted carrots recently that were so good.
Sweet. Were they a sweet treat?
They were not sweet. They were roasted with...
What were you celebrating? It was because it's an occasion when you have a carrot. Wasn't carrot cake.
It wasn't.
I wasn't even thinking carrot cake.
I was splurging and I had some roasted carrots, but they were so good. But they had oil on them, which not healthy anymore.
Sweet treat. You have to be in the mood for a roasted carrot, though. It is a specific taste.
It's a texture thing for me because they can be too mushy or they can be too hard. This was the right amount.
Maybe that's why she likes carrots, because oftentimes carrots, you know, apologies, but they can flop, much like Teddy Jones.
I was going to say, I can't believe we're talking about Teddy, but also
she loves it.
Can we talk about how Vicky is back? I was so happy to see her, and I don't always feel that way about Vicky, but the fact that her first thing she said was, I have a staph infection, so talking about the pus, I was like, I'm home. There's something about her that, like, I don't know. And also, she looks incredible. Vicky's work, to me, is like, I do believe that, like, her plastic surgeon should be canonized, because, like, because we saw how wrong it went for her in past
that
seasons.
That clam bake was, that was reality TV star water torture. Like, you cannot do that to someone. You can't. And I know it was like her bad with the timing of when she was getting the chin in the face, but like,
We can't do it.
I'll never forget her rolling into that clam bake. Just being shocked, but she looks phenomenal.
No, she looks so
good. I want to rewatch that episode right after this.
She looks so good. Legitimately, she looks amazing. And I do think that, like, I think a guest plus, whatever she is on the show.
Cameo
plus, as you say. Like, I think it's the perfect size role for her. I really feel like, I don't know if she'd benefit from being a friend of. Like, I don't know if the show would benefit from that. I really feel like I like this level of Vicky, and I know that people want more from her, but I think a little goes a long way, and she's been such a, like, she's such a good presence now on the show when we see her. I love the role she has. I love that she, like, is not, I don't want to say peacemaker, but she's very, like, anti-conflict. So, like, last season, she was, like, very defensive of Heather because she didn't like how she's being treated. And, like, we see from the trailer, she's very, like, upset about them, their unladylike behavior. It's just kind of funny to me to have Vicky in this role where she's just, like, kind of trying to diffuse tension or kind of call people out for behaving poorly. I don't know. I think it's a funny role for her. And I think that if she had a bigger role, it wouldn't work because she would be in the fray more.
I would not be against her being a friend of, because I actually think you could figure out some sort of balance between it. I would be nervous that she would feel desperate about getting that ultimate promotion from being a friend of, and maybe the cameo removes some pressure. But I do also like seeing her and Shannon together because they genuinely are close friends. And I like that. There is, though, the tension of, like, Tamara's in a full-time spot. I created that spot that I could see going real left. But also, I don't know. I don't want to compare it to Pimple Popper, Dr. Pimple Popper. But when she was, trigger warning, talking about the yellow pus coming out of her tum or something, I just kind of had a moment of quiet contemplation. Just kind of like visualizing it in a way. Not literal, but maybe.
Have you never had a staph infection?
Not that I know of. I think I would know.
They're very
right?
common. Well, the thing about...
Because they're super serious.
No. Here's the thing about staph.
No, they are. Because Rosie O'Donnell, remember when she hurt her finger? She almost lost it.
MRSA. There's different kinds of... Staph is everywhere. Staph is... I don't want to gross you out, but staph is on your body, right? Staph is a bacteria that's everywhere.
No, it's not. Mine is totally clean.
Okay, sorry. It's on my body. It's like under your fingernails. That's very... Anyway.
Your fingernails.
My fingernails, not yours.
Thank you.
Staph is very common. There are more serious forms of it, and there's antibiotic resistant staph, which causes serious infections that are very hard to get rid of.
I'm getting.
But staph itself is super common.
Oh, so everyone should have it for fall.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, and
it's a perfect accessory.
The kind that you don't need to be treated with, or like that you might go to get like clindamycin for or whatever. Like, that's just kind of like a normal. Like, it's a whatever. I'm not trying to normalize what happened to Vicky. I'm just saying that, like, staph itself is very common, a staph infection.
I don't think yellow pus coming out of your tum is great.
Well, that probably is because she probably has a big boil. I'm so sorry.
Wait, I'm actually doing the Vicky gag without even noticing.
Okay, so
I'm bent over.
It was so gross. I think it was just the juxtaposition of how good she looked with how gross she was right away that
and
I
the
was
fact
like
she was like so punchy about it. She was like, yellow stuff's coming out of my tummy.
And also because, like,
God bless her,
Shannon trying to be like a sign you should slow down, and Vicky just like doesn't want to do that. Doesn't want to retire. Doesn't want to
work.
The pardon, was it in Brian's book? We talked about going to the life insurance retreat thing.
I forget.
Do you remember this? Like, Brian wrote about this. Moylan. I don't know if it was in his book or somewhere else. He wrote about going on like the Mexico trip.
He went on a cruise.
Was it a cruise? I thought it was just a Mexico trip Vicky was at. And like,
I don't think that was in the book. I think that was like New York Magazine that he did.
He talked to her like... There was like a part of the retreat where you would like talk to her, and they talked about life insurance, and she was... there's something about Vicky, like... She's such a reality TV creation in the sense that, like, it took someone who was a little bit maybe a high-strung mom, like life insurance agent. What's her job title? Whatever. You know what I'm talking
about. President CEO.
Sure. But it, like, turned her into this, like, she's, like, a reality legend. And, like, she obviously kind of morphed into something very different. But at her core, she's still just, like, loves working, loves, like really cares about life insurance, really cares about, like, all... I don't know. There's something about Vicky that I find so... admirable and charming you realize that she's someone who, like, at her core is still Vicky Gungelson.
What, Vicky Gunkelson, I went to Vicky and Shannon Live, as I promised Shannon I would, and I absolutely did, at City Winery.
Yeah.
And she, they were like, you know, you start like a couple minutes after the fact, which is super normal. But I think she said when she went on stage that like the reason was because she had a conference call.
Was it upstairs or downstairs?
Downstairs.
Oh.
Big space.
Because I that venue, I like that venue location wise. But when I went to, and I went to Candace's show there and thought it was incredible. I think she's an amazing performer.
She had to be upstairs.
She was upstairs. Yeah, it was so fucking hot in there that I was like, warm. I could pass out here. Mm. So yeah, I would go back to the winery downstairs. I've seen some shows there and it's nice and airy down there.
Both spaces are beautiful. Yeah. Like when I go to Reality T, shout out our friends, Evan and Danny, they have the upstairs space, which I think is beautiful.
Yeah.
The downstairs space is like a hall. Like it's really, really big.
I saw Rufus Wainwright in the downstairs space when he did, I think he was doing
Judy Garland.
Was it? Must have been the Judy show. Yeah. And even though it was like obviously very well sold, it still felt like weirdly empty. Like there was just so much space.
It's just too big.
That
it's
I was like, I would not want to do a show down there for the space of it. But I was much more comfortable at a summer show downstairs than upstairs.
Yeah. I think that's also the difficulty because you're thinking financially, right? Of course you want to sell as many tickets. But I think creatively, some of these shows are better served in a slightly smaller space. But, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
The Housewives economy, the kind of like the live show of it all that becoming a thing is so interesting because I feel like you don't know what to expect. And I think that can be really tough because like you can pay for a meet and greet experience and you're basically in that case, like that's what you're there for. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's hard, I think, in cities like New York where it's like there are lots of opportunities to see these people in various contexts and like, are you going to get a Luann cabaret performance? Are you going to get a Sonia
taking off her clothes?
God knows what's happening there. I mean, I went to one of her shows and I was like, there are things to like about it. But it was kind of a
tough
hot mess.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it's tough to know, like, there are so many of them happening now that you're like, what do I want to invest in, basically?
I also wonder, from a, like, financial strategy perspective, is it better for a housewife to be on tour monetizing these things while her show is airing? Because I would think as a gut instinct, yeah, that's phenomenal because people are attached to you from watching you on this, like, Thursday night episode. So, of course, they would want to see you on Friday. But I do also think the flip side is people might feel like, oh, no, I already have you because I'm watching you on Thursday. Well, I don't know.
It's also a double-edged sword because if people are mad at you for something on the show, they might either not want to go see you live or they might want to come and like yell at you.
Yeah.
That like, you know, I don't think they're going to actually get in like an altercation, but it's like we've seen at BravoCon, like people get up there and they like want to say their piece. So they're mad, whatever. Like imagine if somehow Tamara were still doing this tour with them. Like maybe they made up after the season filmed and they're like, whatever. And then they're doing these shows and you're watching this.
That would be impossible.
It would the audience would not know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Like it would be a mess. So it's like, I think that there's a danger of doing it while the show is airing in a way. Like you have to kind of deal with the reaction from fans in real time.
So, I mean, I had this conversation with Shannon when she was in your very seat here in
an incredible interview that I'm sure everyone listening to this has heard already, but I highly recommend.
Thank you. I really, truly, you know, starting on Friday night when I was at 1 or 2 in the morning, just silent on the phone with Christian on the rug in my living room, just said, just give me 1 second. And I lowered myself to the ground because I just couldn't believe it. And it was just one of those things where you would think I would have just questions I needed to know. And it really wasn't, because there was so much that was natural because of everything happening on the show that it felt really fluid in a way that I think is good.
Yeah.
Dreams come true. Listen, what can I tell you? This is Disneyland. Before we shift on over, because we are going to do a two-parter, which is available now, we're going to talk a little bit about New Jersey.
Great.
Everyone's favorite state, including Ramona Singers, if you're following her on Instagram before she deletes posts. Can you tell the AGs a little bit about where they can follow you on social, all that good stuff?
Yeah. You can follow me at Lewis Peitzman on Twitter and Letterboxd and Instagram if you want. Those are the ones that I use most. I'm newly unemployed. So I'm looking for new opportunities.
Lady Who Lunches.
And hopefully we'll have some cool new stuff to share in the coming weeks or months.
We love that. We love cool new stuff to share in the coming weeks and months. I have cool new stuff to share in the recent days and hours, which is two brand new episodes on the AG Patreon, BBDB, Bravo, Bravo, Ducking Bravo. And I have an exclusive Patreon episode up now, nearly an hour of us talking all things Jim James Leonard and his incredible website, which I did do a tour of on the most recent AG, and also posted some stuff on social and some more stuff on social. And during the time in which I posted and recorded and life happening, he has made a couple adjustments. There are currently no lawyers listed, which I thought was progress, and some other stuff. But, you know, BBDB and I have a wild idea that we discussed on the AG page, which you can listen to now, as well as an episode talking about Love Hotel, talking about Phaedra's return to Atlanta, a lot of hot topics. Both of those episodes are exclusive to the OG of the AG and People's Couch tiers. But also, of course, there are other tiers available, so you can sign up for those eps now at patreon.com/AndySkrulls. And we're going to shift over to part two right now, we just have just a couple things to say. So let's say them. Enjoy.